Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the release today of the so-called perversion files that the Oregon Supreme Court forced the Boy Scouts of America to make public. Peter Zuckerman, who broke the story of child sex abuse in the Boy Scouts for the Idaho Falls Post-Register, joins us. Peter was hounded by Idaho's richest man, who tried to stop publication of the expose by outing the reporter and his partner. That man, Frank Vandersloot, is now one of Mitt Romney's biggest donors and the National Finance Committee co-chair of the Romney for President campaign. Then we'll examine the China bashing that went on in the last presidential debate with Clive Prestowitz, who is the former counselor to the Secretary of Commerce and the founder and president of the Economic Strategy Institute. We'll discuss why China's middle class is growing and ours is shrinking, and Clyde Prestowitz's article at CNN, Can iPhones and iPads Be Made in the USA? Then finally, we'll discuss the likely outbreak of a war between the world's newest country, South Sudan, and its northern neighbor, Sudan, that is run by a serial killer, General Omar al-Bashir, the only world leader indicted by the International Criminal Court. David Phillips, the director of the Program on Peacebuilding and Rights at Columbia University's Institute for the Study of Human Rights and author of the new e-book, Liberating Kosovo, Coercive Diplomacy and U.S. Intervention, joins us. And joining us now is Peter Zuckerman, who is a nonfiction writer and journalist. He's reported for the Oregonian and the Idaho Falls Post-Register on child sexual abuse within the Boy Scouts of America. In 2005, Zuckerman won the Livingston Award for a six-part series published in the Post-Register titled Scouts Honor, as well as the Scripps Howard Foundation's National Journalism Award. He's been profiled in a PBS documentary in a small town and has come under attack for his reporting on the Boy Scouts and the Mormon Church. His new book, which won the George Orwell Award, is Buried in the Sky, which tells the true story of the 2008 K2 mountaineering disaster. Welcome to Background Briefing, Peter Zuckerman.
Thanks for having me.
And today, the Boy Scouts of America released their so-called perversion files under an order of the Oregon Supreme Court. More than 1,200 files have been released. And you've been involved in exposing child abuse within the Boy Scouts of America for some time now. Where does it stand now? I mean, it's been so long to get this file released. The file goes from the 1960s through to 1985. What impact is it likely to have?
I think the impact could be huge. When you look at the volume of abuse, the Boy Scouts confidential files, also known as the perversion files or the red files, they are thought by experts to be the largest documentation of child abuse ever documented anywhere. So just in sheer quantity of documents about abuse, this is a huge compendium. And there are, you know, just thousands and thousands of children who have been affected by this. And, you know, they could step forward and it's possible it could be like the Catholic Church.
Well, what seems to be consistent with this Boy Scout scandal and the Catholic Church scandal is that an attempt was made in the Catholic Church by apologists for the enormous payoffs and pedophile activity that's been going on was to conflate homosexuality with child abuse. And it seems like the Boy Scouts of America have done the same thing. They still continue to ban gays in the Boy Scouts, yet the national chairman of the Youth Protection Task Force of the Boy Scouts of America was convicted in 2005 of distributing child porn.
Yeah, you know, it really is. I mean, I'm gay, and it really is hard to understand why the Boy Scouts would continue to ban gays, supposedly to endanger children, and would simultaneously be protecting child molesters by fighting so hard, for instance, to not release this information, to refuse to release this information. And these policies that they've had, they've reaffirmed their ban on gays, they've reaffirmed their secrecy measures about child molesting. And, you know, when they do this, I mean, they're not just hurting adults, they're really hurting gay kids who, you know, suffer so much suicide and so much bullying. And they really ought to spend their efforts on protecting the kids against the real danger, which is child molesting, and just you know, start treating everybody else equally and doing what's best for all their members.
So, Peter Zuckerman, again, a journalist who reported for the Oregonian and the Idaho Falls Post, register on child sexual abuse within the Boy Scouts of America and won a number of awards for it. The Oregon Supreme Court forced the release of these 1,200 files, the so-called perversion files that the Boy Scouts of America had under wraps for some time. This came out of an Oregon lawsuit in 2010, which resulted in the largest judgment against the Boy Scouts, the jury awarding nearly $20 million to a man who was molested by an assistant scoutmaster in the early 1980s, ruling basically established that the Boy Scouts had failed to protect the plaintiff here. Now, I understand that when this lawsuit happened, the Mormon Church was also sued, and they quickly settled. So what's the connection between the Mormon Church and the Boy Scouts of America?
The Boy Scouts and the Mormon Church are very, very closely tied. The Boy Scouts has been the official men's program of the Mormon Church since the early 1900s, and on a national and local level, you know, maybe a quarter to a third of the prominent Boy Scout leaders are Mormons, and just when you look at the number of Boy Scout members, the number of kids involved in troops, there's also about a third of them are Mormons by the last numbers I was able to find. And the Mormon Church, you know, may or may not have a problem with abuse. Whenever abuse cases arise, they seem to get settled very quickly for undisclosed amounts. And these files could definitely give us a window into what kind of abuse may be going on within the Mormon Church. They've been also, like the Boy Scouts, very, very secretive about it. And that's part of the problem. It's you know, secrecy is what allows molesters to get away with things. And in my opinion, really the key is to be as transparent as possible and just to come out with everything that's happened and be upfront with people about the risks. And I worry about the Mormon Church and other very conservative organizations that are very, very closed and reluctant to discuss these things, because the key to dealing with them is putting it out in the open, just as is happening now.
Well, Peter Zuckerman, what do we know about the 1,247 men who were expelled from the Boy Scouts because of charges of child molestation? The files that were released today will name these men. Of course, the victims' names have been redacted in the files. How would we know what percentage of these men were members of the Mormon Church?
It will be hard to tell. It may be possible to tell based on the troops that they're associated with, but it will be difficult to tell what percentage are related to the Mormon Church or to, you know, other churches, because the way the files are laid out, they do not typically tell you the religious affiliation of the scout troop. But it is probably nowadays, in the age of Google, you can, you know, possibly look up the scout troop and figure out the religious affiliation of the troop. Most scout troops have a religious affiliation, and many of them are Mormon. But it's not going to be a clear-cut answer. It'll require significantly more research before we know exactly how this relates to, you know, alleged abuse within the Mormon Church.
Well, but the reason that you're bringing it up is, I take it, is to do with the influence that the Mormon Church has over the Boy Scouts. They are the dominant group, are they not, in terms of...
They are by far the dominant group within the Boy Scouts. And yeah, they work with the Boy Scouts very, very closely. And so if you have a problem with one within one organization with the Boy Scouts, it's very likely a big overlap within the Mormon Church. But also within other groups, there's also likely overlap with other organizations as well.
So specifically, what attacks have come your way from the Boy Scouts of America and the Mormon Church for reporting?
In the reporting, when I was working in Idaho, the richest man in Idaho, a very prominent Mormon, went after me based on my sexual orientation, took out attack ads trying to discredit the stories I'd written, and really just blocked out a lot of the reporting by making people afraid of me, afraid to talk to me because I'm gay. I think ultimately we got a lot of those stories, but they were willing to go after me personally about a problem that, you know, is a societal problem that we should just be dealing with. And I thought that was really, it was an awful thing to have to go through, and that it was bad for the kids, that, you know, if we want to help protect kids from child molesters, we need to get the stories out there, and we need to encourage people to come forward, not attack the people who are delivering the message.
So Peter Zuckerman, again, journalist who reported for the Oregonian and the Idaho Falls Post-Register on child sexual abuse within the Boy Scouts of America organization. And in 2005, Peter Zuckerman won the Livingston Award for a six-part series published in the Post-Register titled Scouts Honor. So that's the series that they tried to shut down, this rich Mormon, by taking out ads against you and saying that you were gay and trying to stop people from talking to you. Obviously, if you got an award for this series, it must have been published and it must have been seen.
Yeah, the story really took off. People attacked it, but it was based on, you know, court records and interviews with people who, you know, who stood up and said, yes, he got the facts right. So the facts of the story, there was no request for corrections. It was an accurate, fairly told story. And the result of the story, ultimately, the Idaho Supreme Court changed its court procedures so that it would be harder to hide court cases. The state changed its child protection laws so it was easier to go after child molesters. And ultimately, you know, the series was very, very well received. But at first, which was, you know, and especially while I was really working on it, they made it incredibly difficult. And, you know, people were blocking me out, and it was a really terrible situation to be through, and it was a terrible situation for my partner, who actually lost his job over the whole thing. And then I think it's interesting to note that the man who was behind the charge against me, Frank Vandersloot, he is now Mitt Romney's lead finance chair. He's a lead fundraiser for the Romney campaign. And so it's made me wonder a lot about, you know, the influence of the church and of the judgment of the people who are, you know, potentially behind somebody who could become the president.
And the extent to which the president, or the presidential candidate, Mitt Romney, is posing now as a moderate, after having run as a conservative. So that the fact that his finance chairman went on a jihad against you and resorted to these gutter tactics of outing you as being gay when it had nothing to do with your reporting, would, I think that certainly gives us pause. That I'm quite shocked to hear that.
Yeah, I was quite shocked to see that he had become the finance co-chairman. And I think that it makes you wonder, you know, when you raise a lot of money for a presidential candidate, you presumably are going to get something in exchange, that you are, in a sense, the string puller in chief. And so I think it's fair to look at who is giving that money and who those people are. And I'd like to say that I was not the only person who has ever been attacked by this guy. He's gone after, you know, among other things, you know, PBS for, you know, airing a documentary that he didn't like that talked about, ironically, bullies in schools, bullies who bully people for being gay. And so, I mean, I was not alone here, and there's a really terrible history.
So again, Peter Zuckerman, journalist who reported for the Oregonian and the Idaho Falls Post-Register on child sexual abuse within the Boy Scouts of America, and won the 2005 Livingston Award for his six-part series published in the Post-Register titled Scout's Honor. He's also the author of the new book, which just won the George Orwell Award, Buried in the Sky, which tells the true story of the 2008 K2 mountaineering disaster. Peter, in these files that have been released today, because of a court order from the Oregon Supreme Court that have been buried for some time, apparently the files show a clear pattern of what's called grooming behavior that alleged molesters used to seduce these young boys under their care. And clearly, you know, they're out on camping trips in the wilderness, etc. They have, these kids are both accessible and vulnerable.
Yeah, you know, Boy Scouts is just by design, I mean, just unfortunately, it is a child molester magnet. I mean, if you want to abuse kids, you want to find vulnerable kids who are alone and gain their trust. The Boy Scouts is the place that a lot of child molesters go. And a camping environment provides a lot of opportunities for molesters to groom potential victims, from, you know, helping the kids win badges to, you know, giving them massages to, you know, being alone with them in the tents. You know, ideally, the Boy Scouts' policies are actually that an adult should never be alone with the kid. I think in practice, that's a very, it's just not always done. And if that policy was followed, if it was always followed, I think it would really cut down on the abuse. And I do think it's worth noting that the worst cases are from the 1960s and 70s, and to some extent the 80s. The later cases, there's less information about, but it does seem that at least in the 80s there was some improvement. Although there were not any major changes made most recently after Douglas Sovereign Smith, the chairman of the Youth Protection Task Force, was arrested for and convicted of trading child porn. And that kind of surprised me, because I thought that if, you know, the person in charge of child protection is actually a pedophile himself, that might really make you want to reassess exactly what you're doing and change the procedures you have.
So just in closing Peter Zuckerman, my understanding is that there's some of the people on the board of the Boy Scouts of America, some of the corporate leaders that are on that board, some of them want to overturn this ban. I guess this guy Vandersloot, who you mentioned, who went after you and who's now the co-chair of Mitt Romney's finance committee, he must still have some sway. But what? But isn't the chairman of AT&T, one of these big companies, trying to at least join the 21st century here?
Yeah, there is division within within the Boy Scouts over whether they should start, you know, treating everybody fairly and allow gays to join the Boy Scouts. And I think the main thought is you know, doing so would be what's best for the kids. I mean, there are gay children. They need role models. They shouldn't be, you know, openly discriminated against. You know, suicide and bullying and is a huge problem among gay kids. And I think if the Boy Scouts wants to do what's best for the kids, they should be allowing gays, they should allow gay scouts to serve openly, and they should provide those scouts with role models instead of telling them there's something wrong with them and kicking them out.
Well, Peter Zuckerman, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Peter Zuckerman, who is a journalist who has reported for the Oregonian and the Idaho Falls Post-Register on child sexual abuse within the Boy Scouts of America organization. In 2005, he won the Livingston Award for a six-part series published in the Post-Register titled Scouts Honor, as well as the Scripps Howard Foundation's National Journalism Award. He's been profiled in a PBS documentary in a small town and has come under attack for his reporting on the Boy Scouts and the Mormon Church. His new book, which won the George Orwell Award, is Buried in the Sky, which tells the true story of the 2008 K2 mountaineering disaster. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about China, the new political whipping boy, and whether iPads can be made here in the United States.
Be good or be gone. Be good or